Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Do you struggle with stress? I think many people do. And if so, today's message is for you. But before we get into the message, we're going to hear some great music by one of our favorite bands, Phillips, Craig, and Dean, from their album entitled Where Strength Begins. The name of this song is This Is How It Feels to Be Free. An appropriate title, don't you think, for a program in which we're going to help you to know how to be free from stress through faith in God. This is Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and this is how it feels to be free.
There's a wall that has been standing since the day that Adam fell. Sin is where it started. Sin is why it held. Speaking as a prisoner who was there and lived to tell, I remember how it felt. I can hear the sound of freedom like a distant voice that called and beckoned me to follow where I had never gone. My heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall, praying somehow it would fall. But in a cross I found a doorway, and a hand that held the keys. When the chains fell at my feet, for the first time I could see.
This is how it feels to be free. This is what it means.
Like a living nightmare, burning from within.
I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again.
See, once I tasted freedom, then the walls could bind no more.
Since mercy gave me wings to fly like an eagle, I can soar.
Thank you.
And now, as promised, here's that message about how you can get victory over stress through faith in God. The message is entitled, The Master of Change.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's part of our human nature that we feel comfortable when we feel like we've got everything figured out. We're wired that way, and that's just something that we all have to deal with. We feel comfortable when we perceive, when we think, when we possess an understanding of how we're going to get things taken care of. When we have an understanding of how all the needs are going to be met, and we have an understanding, be it right or wrong, of how the bills are going to get paid and how the task is going to get done and how the needs are going to be met, we feel comfortable. And then anytime we get bumped out of our comfort zone over into a place where now it's just a big question mark. I used to think I understood, but now I don't really understand anymore. And I don't know. I don't know how the needs are going to be met. I don't know where the money is going to come from. I don't understand how the task is going to be accomplished. Then, instead of being comfortable, we're uncomfortable. Instead of being unstressed, we become stressed. And this is when you're living your life on the basis of what you think you can do. On the basis of what you think the people around you can do. On the basis of what you think your job can do. On the basis of what you think the economy is going to do. On the basis of what you think your retirement or pension is going to be. Folks, I want to tell you that there is a way that you can have peace and comfort and freedom from stress, even if life is a big question mark. And that way is to have faith in God.
Right.
Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus gave some examples. He talked about these beautiful flowers, these lilies growing out in the field. And he drew our attention to them. He said, consider the lily. Consider it. Think about it. Look upon it and ponder. That lily does not know where its next raindrop is coming from. That lily does not know where its next ray of sunshine is coming from. That lily does not know who made the soil that its roots drink from. That lily is not stressed or worried about any of that. It just is beautiful in its glory, stress-free because of the kindness and goodness of God. And another occasion, the Lord drew our attention to the sparrows that fly. And he said, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that the Lord doesn't see it. And he said that if the Lord cares for that little tiny, what seems to us to be a worthless sparrow, he said, how much more does the Lord care for you? In another place, the Lord said that except ye all become as this child. You've got to have childlike faith.
Yeah.
Amen. One of the ways you can tell the difference between a child and a grown-up, a child doesn't lay awake at night worrying about where the next meal is coming from. They just trust that mama and daddy's got it under control. They don't understand finances. They don't understand bills. They don't understand economy. They don't understand budget. All they know is my daddy and my mommy love me and I don't have to worry. Well, can I tell you that's how we need to be with God. We need to say, God is my heavenly Father and he loves me. I will not stress. I will have faith.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that little sanitized story that I told you, that unfolded through a period of weeks and involved a lot of disappointing delays, wondering, feeling like we were in the dark, not knowing what was going on, and finally getting this discouraging news that the underwriter wasn't on board. And when Sister Joseph and I found out that the underwriter wasn't on board, and before we met with the branch manager, we had cause for alarm. We had cause for panic. And I walked from my bedroom into my closet and I prayed. And when I turned my attention to the Lord, and it was as though I drug all of this baggage into the closet with me. Lord, look at this, and it's been weeks and weeks, and we don't have an answer yet. And the situation has been that after they delayed all this time, the underwriter's not on board. Look at all this baggage, Lord. And in my spirit, I was all twisted up and taut and stressful. And when I turned my attention to Him, the Lord said only two words to me: trust me. I want you to know I came out of that closet a different man than I was when I went in. I went in stressed. I went in confused. I went in with worry. I went in with pain. I went in with frustration. I came out with peace and calm and confidence and no stress and no worry. Now, you got to get it. You got to understand. At that moment, we had not yet met with the branch manager again. I mean, other than the earlier meeting in person. We had not yet had a chance for her to explain the areas where the underwriter could be confused and where she hoped to straighten him out. And it may be that she won't be able to straighten him out. Folks, all I know is this. I can't stress over something when my Heavenly Father said to trust Him about it. Amen. Don't wait for it to be worked out before you have faith. Don't wait for you to have human understanding before you have faith. Don't wait until it's all smoothed over before you feel smooth. Your inner peace is not based on the circumstance. It's based on your relationship with your provider. You gotta have faith in God. Amen. Hallelujah. How is it that when times are tight and the economy is turned down and everything is a struggle, how is it that someone can make a pledge to give toward a dream? Faith. Amen. It's based on faith. When you sit down and you say, I don't understand it. I don't know how it's going to happen. The task looks bigger than I can figure out. This is more than I can handle. It's more than I can accomplish. It is outside the realm of what I can do. But it's not outside the realm of what God can do. And He told me not to worry. The Bible makes a very emphatic statement about God. He changes not. At one place, the Lord indicated that it was because He doesn't change that His people were not consumed. His people, the Old Testament people, Israel, were not being what they ought to be. And the Lord said, I change not, and therefore are you sons of Jacob not consumed. He said, I made a commitment, and I'm going to stand by my commitment. Amen. But the interesting thing is that while God Himself never changes, He has the power to change everything else. Now, God, in His infinite wisdom, has sorted this out. When I ponder on it, it fries my brain. The Lord has worked it out to where He can accomplish what He needs to accomplish without overruling someone's free will. This is amazing. The Lord will, if you want to choose hell and sin and going the wrong way, unrighteousness, you can choose that. And if God has something in particular in mind that He needs to accomplish, He can do that in spite of your choice and without overruling your choice. For example, let's say that God wants to bring this particular nation toward righteousness, but this nation has a king or a president or a dictator who is leading the nation toward unrighteousness. God can work it out to where He can remove that person from office and they continue in their journey toward unrighteousness, and He can put a new person in office who will lead that nation in the direction that He wants it to go. And He moved the course of that nation without overruling that person's freedom of will. And when you ponder on this kind of stuff, it is absolutely mind-boggling. And this is a big part of what the Scripture says about predestination. Did you know the Bible does indicate, and you can't really find it crisply in black and white, but the Bible does indicate that somehow before you were ever born, God from the past, who is in the past, the present, and the future, His knowledge of you in the now, His knowledge of what choices you would make in the now, allowed Him to predestine things about your path before He ever created the world. Amen. And so God in the now, looking at Saddam Hussein's choices in the now, was able to predestine the path for Saddam Hussein before He ever created the world. Now, when you ponder on that, it will bake your cookies. I mean, it will fry your brain when you ponder on that. It is downright amazing. But the Bible clearly says that God, He foreordained things, He predestined things based on His foreknowledge. Foreknowledge means knowledge you had before. God had knowledge of our decisions and our choices as free moral agents. He had knowledge of that before we ever existed. And He made choices about predestinating things based on His foreknowledge of us. Wow. But when you begin to study the scriptures about predestination, you'll find that many of the scriptures about that are linked to corporate groups and leadership of corporate groups. It's as though all of the nations and kindreds and tribes on the earth, their paths interweave in a way that creates a tapestry that God is making. Anybody here ever seen anyone use a weaving loom to make one of those beautiful pieces of art? It's phenomenal. Raise your hand if you've ever seen one doing that. A few hands going up. Oh, if you ever have a chance, if there is ever at some fair or something at the Jackson's Mill or whatever, if you ever have a chance to see someone, an artist working with one of those looms, you've got to check that out. They've got all these threads that go up here and tie onto this part, and all these threads that go down here and tie onto this part, and they've got this ability to move these things, and they move it up, and they slide this little thing that has a thread attached to it, and it runs over there, and then they do this, and then they run it back, and then they do this, and they can weave colors of thread in there and tell a story. And folks, if you can imagine that this nation is that thread, and that nation is that thread, and this nation is that thread, and somewhere in there, part of that thread is you. And when the Lord looks back, He looks back at all of history, and He looks forward to history that hasn't even happened yet, and it is a beautiful tapestry that He is weaving. Why on earth would God ever cause a nation to weave away from righteousness to unrighteousness? He's God, and it's none of your business. He's got it worked out. You say, I don't understand. Folks, God allowed Russia to go communist and godless. God allowed. He allowed the weaving pattern to cause the Soviet Socialist Republic to form in its godless communist state. But did you know that just because a nation is that way right now doesn't mean they'll always be that way? Now here's the thing. Did you know that the whole time that the USSR was under the grip of godless communism, the whole time, God was at work in that nation? And even though His decision for that nation as a whole was to allow it to go in that direction politically and religiously, that did not mean that any one person in that nation had to have that forced upon them. And so it was that when the wall, when the Iron Curtain, that you young people don't know about that, you don't remember that, do you? How many of y'all were born after the Soviet Union had already collapsed? They don't know to raise their hand because they don't know. They call it the Iron Curtain. The Soviet Union set up a division. Their border was so firmly controlled, and they called it the Iron Curtain, the division from the godless communist Soviet regime and the rest of the world. They called it the Iron Curtain. But when that Iron Curtain fell, we found out that there were millions and millions of one God, Jesus name, tongue-talking Pentecostals. They had been having revival in the middle of godless communism. Hey, folks. Folks, I'm not happy with the fact that America is tossing its constitution out the window. I'm not happy with the fact that America is becoming socialist. I'm not happy with the fact that we're moving toward communism. I'm not happy with that. But I am not stressed over it, because whether America goes up or down has nothing to do with me and God. And no matter what America does or doesn't do, God is in control. Have faith in God. Here's the thing, folks. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, it tells you about people who were exiled. They lived for God in righteousness and faith while they had to huddle in caves and dens. They were burned alive. They were sown asunder. They were martyred for their faith. Folks, did you know that it is not the Bible that guarantees you any kind of protection from harm? It's the Constitution. If you take away our Constitution, you take away what protects your freedom of religion. Somebody said, no, God will protect my freedom of religion. Read history. Read the Bible. He has often let his people suffer through the fire. He has often let his people suffer through martyrdom and through governments that were not permitting freedom of religion. Hey, folks, you got to understand something. There is political freedom of religion, and then there is your relationship with God. They can take away my political freedom of religion. They can never take away my relationship with God. You can put me in jail for preaching against homosexuality. It will not affect my relationship with God. You can burn me at the stake. You can shoot me. You can cut off my head. You cannot take away my relationship with God. Somebody said, oh, God will never let that happen. Oh, he's let it happen a bunch of times. There was a bunch of Christians that were fed to the lions. You say, why would God do that? It's none of your business. He's got it all worked out. Did you know Christianity took over the world because of Christians who, when they were told, you either say that this Jesus isn't real, that you don't believe in him, that you don't serve him, or we're going to feed you to that hungry lion. And they just said, you do whatever you want, but he ain't never done me nothing but good, and I cannot recant. I love my political freedom of religion, but you hear me. If America takes that away, they still cannot take my relationship with God. There is a freedom on the inside that comes by faith that politics can't give it, and politics can't take it away. I'm preaching to you this. Yes, America is in a mess. Yes, America's going to hell in a handbasket. I know that. Have faith in God. Trust in God, and everything will be all right. He's the master of change. You say, Lord, they've heated this oven 7 times hotter. They've heated this oven so hot, the people that are going to throw us in here are going to die just because of throwing us in here. It's so hot, it's going to kill them just delivering their package to the oven. He's the master of change. Carnal thinking says, if God was really looking out for me, I would never go into the oven. Whether you go into the oven or not is not your business. It's God's business. He bought you. Hey, folks, listen. Adam sold you lock, stock, and barrel. Jesus died on a cross to buy you back lock, stock, and barrel. Say, why does anybody think they have the right to tell me how to dress or how to live or how to act? If he's your Lord and he bought you, then you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's his business, not yours. It's not even my business. It's his business. If I preach something, it's because I'm preaching what he said. So here we are. God did not deliver them from being thrown into the fiery furnace. They were thrown into the oven. But he's the master of change. So God just comes down and says, well, I'm not going to keep you out of the furnace, but what I'll do is I'll suspend all the laws of nature so you don't get burned. We really love that part. But we're not quite sure what to do with the times that they strapped a Christian to a pile of wood and lit it on fire, and God did not suspend the laws of nature. When he allowed the laws of nature to stay intact, and that Christian was burned. We love the stories about God keeping the Hebrew children in the furnace where they're not even burned. We shout about that, but we're not sure what to do with John Huss. We're not sure what to do with Polycarp. We're not sure what to do with Michael Servetus. They deliberately used green wood so that it would take much longer, so that he would suffer more. I watched that movie about those missionaries that went back in there to try to reach the Akkas. And the Akkas were these murderous people that speared everybody. If they thought you looked at them funny, they'd spear you for looking at them funny. You didn't even have to look at them funny. If they just thought you looked at them funny, they'd spear you just for thinking you looked at them funny. And these missionaries went back in there to reach these Akkas, and I can't remember if it was four or five men. They flew back in there in an airplane, and they took a gun with them, but they had a meeting beforehand where they talked about whether or not they would try to use that gun to protect themselves from the Akkas if the Akkas tried to spear them. And one of those missionaries made this statement: we're ready for eternity, and they're not. So if somebody has to die, let's not let it be us killing them and sending them to hell. Let's let it be them killing us and sending us to heaven. If you don't believe in God, death terrifies you. If you don't trust God, what's beyond the grave terrifies you. Folks, that's it in a nutshell. If you don't believe in God, this economy terrifies you. If you don't believe in God, this administration or that administration or that administration terrifies you. If you don't believe in God, this economic downturn or this political flip, it all terrifies you. Folks, the bottom line is at some point you got to realize, I'm not depending on any of that. I'm trusting in God. I'm always amazed at people that claim they're trusting in God for the afterlife and they can't trust Him right now for their finances. The doctor comes and gives you some negative report, and you just believe that report and go into a tailspin of worry and confusion and frustration and never even go to God in prayer. Or if you do go to God in prayer, you're so determined to worry that you don't even want to hear what He has to say. I think sometimes it's not necessarily the fact that His answer is that we won't be healed. It's that we don't know how to have faith for what comes after an answer of, I'm choosing not to heal you. I can't remember where I picked up the phrase, but I can't remember who it was that I first heard say it. They just simply said, that's above my pay grade. And I've picked that up. What happens? What happens, Pastor Joseph, if some sickness comes along or if some accident comes along and you die and your family is left without? That's above my pay grade. Well, what happens if the bank doesn't approve the loan? What happens if the seller sells it out from under you? Somebody, that's above my pay grade. Why spend my life worrying about stuff that's beyond what I have any control over anyway? I need to just be like the lily of the field. I need to be like the sparrow. I need to have the childlike faith that says, come good or bad, blessing or torment, I am in the hands of God. And
well, that's about all the time we have for now, but we hope you'll join us again next week. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.